This is Tom Bernard. Can't get enough of sports talk with Phil Mackey and Judd Zolgad? Tune in to the new Tom Bernard Show podcast Monday through Friday as Phil and Judd join me to discuss the latest sports headlines and whatever else comes to mind.
Just download the Tom Bernard Show app wherever you get your podcasts or visit TomBernardShow.com. It's another way to get more from me and Judd talking sports and having fun with Tom, and it's all at your fingertips. Download the Tom Bernard Show app now and join the conversation.
I just pulled up the Northern Trust leaderboard.
Okay, this is at, what, 130 or so? 147. Well, 147 Central.
Through four holes, Cameron Smith holds a one-shot lead at 17 under over.
He's an Aussie, isn't he?
Yeah. Over John Rahm is 16 under, Tony Finau is 16 under, and Eric Van Ruyen, who played for the U of M,
yes,
didn't he?
Yes, he did. He's
14 under.
Yes. And we know, the only thing we know for sure is Tony Finau is not going to win. We know that. So
he seems to have some problems,
yes,
doesn't he?
But Tony just doesn't make that putt when he absolutely has to. Seems like a very affable chap. But
How many players are currently in the field who made the cut? 75 players? And if so, does that mean five aren't going to the next tournament? Because only the 70 move on.
No, but it's not. Okay. So I don't know how many made the cut.
But there are players who aren't playing in this who will be in the next one.
Yes,
because of their points accumulation.
That's what I'm saying. That's because of the points accumulation.
All right.
It's different.
I get it.
I think, is it 75? Is it 70?
70 go to the next tournament.
Okay. All right. And then it's 30. Said last week, they eliminated one step here. It used to be three playoff tournaments and then the Tour Championship.
Tour. But
you know what it makes me, when I watch a little golf on that and they show the picture of the Statue of Liberty?
Mm-hmm. You tear up?
But it makes me wonder why I never rode out there on one of those
the ferries?
Boats, ferries, and
it's
take a look at
it's
her.
It's called a ferry.
Because she's pretty, when you look at TV, she's pretty tall.
Never went out there?
Never went out there.
I was lucky enough.
I've been in New York like 20 times. Why would I go out there?
Yeah. But before I was married, Mick and I went out there, and that's when they let you walk up. And I got pictures from when I was in the Crown.
That would be what would terrify me. It's somebody saying, you want to walk up? No, I don't.
Is there an elevator?
Yes. There's an elevator up to a point, and then you're walking inside that tin. It's a staircase like this.
Nope. Uh-huh.
And you're going up, and people are going down. And when you get up there, you know, you think you're going to take some
pictures. I'm already getting
the
elevator stomach.
Yeah.
But you think you're going to take some pictures and look through. You get about 3.5 seconds before you're almost pushed down the stairs because there's no room. You go zip right through.
I was in that arch in St. Louis.
I was just going to bring this up because we were there. It
terrified me.
Terrified me. Is that a little tunnel?
Yes.
Sit in a cart with five other people smaller
Gilligan
than our table.
Well, you don't have to walk it, though. You ride it.
No, you ride the cart.
But you're... you're claustrophobic.
Drove through St. Louis back a little after the 4th, and I brought the boys out there. I said, boys, you want to go up there? And they both went, mm-mm.
You guys are all aware of the tragic fire that took place at the Cathedral of Notre Dame, right?
Yeah, sure.
The
Cathedral heard about
of
that.
Notre
yeah.
Dame, yes. Yeah. I think we got her back together. But the first near tragedy at the Cathedral of Notre Dame was the wife and I were there. And they have this little, have you been there, Joe?
Yep.
That little winding staircase?
Yep.
And we started up that baby.
Mm-hmm.
And I got up about
30
steps, baby. 30 steps, baby. And I said, A, I'm not going to make it. And B, I can't take it. And I turned around and damn near trampled the entire, let me through here.
I'm rolling.
Let me through here. I'm coming down. Coming down. And people are, and at the Cathedral of Notre Dame, you know, the height of Catholicism greatness, people were calling me filthy names as I pushed my way past them to get
I climbed
down.
To the top
Must
of the...
Must have been Protestants. I don't know.
Exactly.
I got to the top of the St. Paul Cathedral.
Did you?
That is one. That's on my list.
Is that a winding
And you're going
staircase?
Through a crawl space, you know, the wall, and you're just on a wooden ladder.
Oh, yeah.
And you get up there, and you find the initials of altar boys from 1928.
Well, that I don't like those tight stairwells. No. I don't like I'm opposed to stairs in general.
Oh wait, and B, adding that to the list.
Stairs. Like stairs,
anti-stair.
Yeah. Stairs in general.
If he runs for office, I am anti-stair.
You have the full list.
Well, yes. I have portions of
no,
it scattered.
No, I mean, I understand they are necessary in some situations.
Of course.
Yeah. I'm not saying we should outlaw them. I'm just saying I don't like them. And then when you put them in a tight space, then I really don't like
it. All right, the last three.
That's one nice thing about our house. No attic.
What we've added in the last couple of weeks is camping, s'mores, steps, and road construction.
Road construction. Willy-nilly road construction.
Man, you've got to get that list organized.
Yeah, we
get it all together.
We divisions. Really
do. You know, fruit that squirts.
Oh, yeah, fruit that squirts.
Radon gas.
Radon gas.
By the way,
he's not afraid of radon gas, is what he's saying.
He doesn't believe in it.
He doesn't believe in it.
Okay.
I don't think it's... I say that's one of the things I'm willing to die from. Yeah. You know, radon gas.
And secondhand smoke you're willing to die from.
Secondhand smoke. Yeah. Let's,
still
you know,
here, right?
I'm experienced. I'm experienced in that area, and it's, I'm still doing fine. So,
love that.
Yeah, anyway. Good.
I didn't even... Well, I think I'm going to be able to answer my own question. The Twins would not have been able to play yesterday, right?
Well, no, the rain started, and
and golf didn't
play. 5, 6, 7 inches or something. Plus,
well, you know, they got an off day today. Why didn't they just play him today?
Because the Yankees are playing somebody else today. The Yankees are not off today.
Let me look.
No, it's a big. I think aren't they playing the Rays? It's a. I know it's a pretty decent game because the Twins are going to Boston tomorrow.
Is there? They went last night.
True.
They got out
that's
last
true.
Night
that's
after
true.
This after a hit. Henry. It's Henry.
Yankees are not playing today.
Oh, huh. I wonder why they didn't play.
Texas, Boston, Chi, Toronto, KC, Houston, Seattle,
okay.
Oakland.
All right, I'm wrong then. I assumed that it was. Well, the Twins have to go back there September
13th. I'm sorry. New York Yankees are in interleague play.
Oh, that's right. They're playing the Braves.
They're playing Atlanta.
That's right.
Red hot, two hottest teams in all of ball going after each other. One of the most disgusting moments in the 61-year history of the Minnesota Twins.
Oh my!
Was sending Charlie Barnes out to attempt to pitch to the New York Yankees. Mm-hmm. This kid.
Tell me the story, Charlie Barnes. I don't know the story.
He's a lefty who was mediocre in St. Paul, and he could wind up and throw his best fastball and hit you right between the eyes, and you would have said, geez, I think a wasp just came by here or something like that. He had no chance in God's green earth to get out without giving up 8 runs. He has that slop, don't play. Mm-hmm. And then you're going to try to get him through the Yankees? I mean, save him for the Kansas Cities or the, you can't even save him for Detroit anymore because they're way better than the Twins. But
how the hell did the Twins fly to Boston last night in the middle of a hurricane?
Because it had passed, I believe.
During table talk recording on Sunday morning, Matthew was in Boston. So I said, wow, we're going to get a live report on just what the hell's going on. So I called him dry. He answered. All I hear is wind. And I'm like, oh, my God.
Were you like that?
I'm something similar to that. I said, do you have your windows open? What's going on? He said, no, I'm going to Chipotle. So it was just windy. It was not. They had trees down and stuff like that, but they were not hard hit.
No. You know what? If this was the British Open, they would have played.
Oh, yeah.
They would have played 50-mile-hour ones and rain. Yeah. That day that I was, when we were over there that year, you didn't come till Sunday, but on to the tournament till Sunday, but on Saturday was when Tiger and Monty and all those guys got caught out in the storm.
Right.
And Monty had the sweater on.
Oh, yeah.
And weighed like 600 pounds by the time he was done. And you could see his boobs. And and Tiger shot 82, I think.
Yeah, he was drenched too.
I mean, but he got caught in the wind. The only reason he didn't win was he got caught in the wind. And
who won
the rain.
It that year? Els?
Yes, Els won the playoff. Four-person playoff. Yeah. And he beat, who was the Ferner he beat? He beat,
let me look.
Some Euro.
What was that, 2002?
That wasn't Van Velde. It was a different year. I can't remember who that guy was he beat in the playoffs. But there were four of them in the playoffs. Appleby and Elkington had been the first pairing off that made the cut on Saturday morning.
Mm-hmm.
And Thomas Levitt, yeah. And they didn't. And they ended up playing in the second to the last group on Sunday because they went out and shot like 69 or something before the wind started blowing. And everybody else blew sky high. And they ended up in the playoffs, both of them, in that playoff, both of them. One thing about that, you know, you have tournaments where you're worried if they're, this is a four-person playoff playing three holes, and you're worried about, are they going to get done? Scotland in the summer, you don't have to worry about that.
It's light out
dark
about 11.
Yeah, I mean, you can. It's tomorrow, and it's still light out, for goodness sake.
Well, look on a map. It's way up north.
It is. Yeah. It is way up north. Yes, it is. Do you know that, I think I mentioned this last week, that the Scottish Open is now an official PGA Tour event? Yeah. I think that's going to make life even harder for Hollis next year.
But, yeah, you know, to get good players here.
Because they'll be over there for 2 weeks, and then you got to try to convince them to come here and play. So,
and then you'll get Dustin going, oh, my back, ouch, I'm out for this one. Yeah.
Dustin, no, this time it wasn't his back, but this one was, if I hit it in the water here on 18... I'll make sure I don't make a birdie and have to make the cut. So he basically aimed for the water so he could go home.
Like he was playing mini golf. He aimed for the water tower and bounced it off the edge.
He just hit her in the water. That was, you ain't fooling me, Dustin. You promised Paulina you'd be home on that private jet Friday night.
And I can't blame him, Pat.
No, that's true.
You remember how nice it was Saturday, just this 2 days ago? It was a gorgeous day.
Oh, yeah, perfect. Great.
Guess where do you think Reavers was?
Where?
Couple of spots first. So let me full disclosure.
Yeah.
Wife was out of town visiting her friend in Chicago.
So you drove to Buffalo.
No. So the boys and I, we took in a little town baseball Friday night, the Chaska mm-hmm. Athletic, because it's right in our backyard.
Yeah.
Saturday, we went to a couple of early games up in Waconia. And then I said, boys, let's head to the Vikings game, because they wanted to go to the Vikings game. So we went to the Vikings game.
How would you get in for about $3 each?
I think someone paid us to get in the game.
Yeah.
We went for maybe a quarter. But I just wanted to kind of get the vibe of downtown, and the boys want to go to a Vikings game, so I can lie to them.
Well, how much did you pay?
Nothing. I didn't pay anything to
go. Well, how'd you get a ticket?
Joe, come on.
I don't know.
You could have got in for $2 on Saturday.
People were just asking you if you wanted to.
It's a preseason game.
I understand that, but I would think somebody'd want $5.
So how many people were in there?
It was maybe half full. We were only there for, we didn't even make it to the end of the first quarter.
Oh, really?
Yeah, it was maybe half full.
Why did you bother to go then?
Just to go for a little bit.
Something to do.
Something to do.
Right.
You know?
And what did it cost you? And a couple of Cokes?
No, it did not.
No.
But
they're very willing to give away their tickets.
But they have good seats?
Yeah, great seats. But you know, when they have the doors open, you do still feel like you're outside, because when you're on that first ring of the end zone that isn't enclosed.
Yeah. You know, here's the difference between exhibition baseball and exhibition football.
Yes, sir.
Exhibition baseball is, you know, they charge a little too much money.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a farce, but they don't advertise it as anything but a farce, right?
You know what you're doing.
You're going, and if you're lucky, you get to see somebody you heard of bat twice. But you're there for the sunshine and stuff. Football, they want us to believe it is something. They're
it's
all
not.
On television.
Well, then we better start panicking. They're not very good yet.
Not yet. They haven't scored. We're still waiting to cross the goal line, right?
Yes. So,
what's with Dalvin Cook? He never plays.
Well, I don't think you need to play him in the preseason. But, Joe, case in point, we were in section, what was that? Section 118, row 20 something. Great seats, right? And I'm sitting there with my 9 and my 6-year-old, and they got their hot dog and their fries and their Teddy Bridgewater jerseys on, and they're ready to go, right? Then I look down the aisle, and there's a 40-year-old guy with his buddy. And he is about a .6.
Ooh.
Okay. And he is yelling at Kirk Cousins every snap.
Even though Kirk was out
Kirk,
there.
Kirk did play the beginning.
What's he mad at Kirk about?
Just, I'm thinking, boy, that guy's got a lot of passion for a game that really doesn't matter today, doesn't he?
Vaccination. Kirk's,
yeah, but the thing about it is, the people mad at, as I said last week, the people mad at Kirk for not being vaccinated are not vaccinated.
Right, right.
You know, this is the crowd that's not vaccinated. Right. It's very strange. Very, very, very strange. It's.
But you talked about Saturday. I'll mention the state amateur tournament. They had a great crowd in Waconia on Saturday. Holy cow.
Hey, who won last night? Meesville or Chesapeake?
Meesville edged them, I believe. Oh, so it was the, 9-0.
The Cubs are out.
Cubs are out.
Ooh, wow. Yep. 9-0. So not
Mr. Ranger died. Rod Gilbert.
I saw Rod Gilbert. Yeah. Yeah,
he's a hell of
How
a
many
player.
Times was he called Rod Gilbert by the American press?
Probably right. Much. He was a hell of a player.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, he was. I didn't realize he had all those records.
He played from 1960 to 1978 with the Rangers. Had 400 and the paper has a funny mark there. I don't know, 400 and some goals and 615 assists. 8-time NHL All Star.
You know what his problem was? The Rangers weren't very good when he played.
Did he win a cup ever?
I don't know if he ever. No, hell no, because they didn't win from 45 until he wasn't with Messier
That's
when
right.
they won it. They didn't win it for.
That's right.
They managed to avoid it in the six team era
right.
for, 20 some years. And then they. I think it was 45, wasn't it? When they won it with Messier.
Yeah.
All those years later.
Did Gretzky win a cup with them? Was he on that team?
Oh yeah. Wasn't he?
Not with the Rangers. No.
No. Not. Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Not with the Rangers.
No, the Rangers was Messier. Messier yeah, came right. in and they won it and bought New York City went nuts, went hockey nuts because it'd been so long.
Now Tampa keeps them away.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Three.
Yeah.
Tampa. To me, I keep bringing that up. Minnesota, in the NHL for 26 years with the North Stars and now 20 with the
Hockey
Wild yep. because we missed one. 46 years, never a cup. Tampa, been in business for what, 20 years?
It's a lot longer, it's a lot longer than 46. 1967 was the first year.
Tampa.
Of the North Stars.
No, the North Stars were 26. Then we didn't have a team for 7.
Oh, okay. That's right.
And 46. And Tampa has been, what, late 90s?
Mm-hmm.
Late 90s? They won 3!
Yep.
What the hell?
That's not
in
fair.
In Florida.
In Florida, yes. It's extremely
odd. Well, the Panthers have a cup.
Yes. And nobody even knows it
right.
in Miami.
The Los Angeles Kings have a cup.
How about the Coyotes being evicted from Glendale?
Well, I didn't know that.
Yes, the
you're kidding.
The they're $2 million in arrears on their rent. They won't pay it because they want to renegotiate the lease. And the Glendale, I don't think it was the mayor or the commission, the city manager. They have sent them notification that they are out after this season.
Where are they going to go?
Well, it's obviously a
ploy.
It's a ploy because they say they can get much more successful and high profile events in this stadium out there. Yes, but sir, there's 41 of these games. You're going to get 41. I mean, they might only draw 7,000 a game, but 8,000. But
because they don't play in the same building as the Suns, right? The Suns play in a different.
No, it's yeah. The Suns play downtown, and they want a new arena, and so do the Coyotes.
And the Diamondbacks.
Diamondbacks want a new
arena. I just refreshed the Northern Trust leaderboard.
Yes.
Cam Smith must have had a double bogey on 5. Rahm is now 16 under and tied with the lead with Finau. Eric Van Ruyen is 15 under and
wow.
tied with Cameron Smith, who's now 15 under.
I love under. John Rahm, but I will take either one of those. I'd like to see Finau win, and I certainly the U kid who I don't know at all. But what the hell, a former Gopher win it?
Where That'd is he? Is he a South African?
I think he's another South African. Yeah.
We can go back to golf, but I just going down the NHL rabbit hole. I did not know this tidbit of information. So Messier picked 48th. In the 1979 draft in round 3, and with the trade of Neil Broughton, they got from Edmonton. Is that correct? It says the NHL team Edmonton Oilers picked him, and it was from Minnesota. Did you know that? And then when you look at Neil Broughton up here in round two, who was picked number 42 by the Minnesota North Stars, was from Edmonton.
Well, we probably moved up because we wanted the local guy. Mm-hmm. We wanted Neil.
So 47 teams or 47 slots passed on Messier.
It's hockey. What the hell? It's an 18-year-old kid.
Who, you don't know what we took Hartsburg.
That wasn't bad.
No, it worked out.
Best defenseman they ever had.
It worked out.
Yeah.
Probably the best they've ever had in this town.
That's just... who was your guy? Crowley? No, not Crowley. Who was your defensive guy who played for the Gophers? You really liked him.
Well, Crowley was a really good player, but...
It wasn't Crowley.
No, but no, I'm talking about Gary Sargent and...
But he went to the U.
Henry Boucher. Boucher.
No, even before, it was late like
that.
But he
ended up playing
It was
forward.
In the 90s. You thought he was a really, really good defenseman. He went on to the NHL. I won't pose that question because I can't
remember. Housley. Housley's the best hockey player Minnesota ever had.
Mm-hmm.
Best high school player of all time.
And but he very was, durable.
But he was more a forward than a... Yeah. He was a puck rusher. He wasn't exactly going to board you.
Was he on the Flyers when when they wore those breezers?
No, he was always...
He played
a,
for the Sabres.
He was a Buffalo
or
guy.
Buffalo. Yeah.
Buffalo.
Did they have the bad?
Calgary and...
Remember the breezers, the bad...
I don't remember the bad breezers.
They were long-sleeved. The pants, the breeches went all the way down. It was really ugly. I don't remember who that was. Maybe it was the Flyers.
There's nobody who has watched more sports than me and paid less attention to uniforms. The only ones I remember are the Canucks.
The Canucks?
The Canucks. Those were unmistakable. Those were terrible. And now the ones you can remember are the ones the Giants are wearing. The light orange...
Oh, yeah.
White foo-foo,
Hey, speaking of you seeing a guy hammered at the Vikings game.
Yes, sir.
Where did another fight broke out at Pittsburgh.
I don't get it.
A woman fighting a guy, and then it became a rumble.
And this happened in L.A. a couple of weeks ago. We're fighting at preseason football games now.
We're fighting in preseason games.
Hell, we're fighting on airplanes.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
I don't get that.
I don't either. I don't understand.
It's the masking. It's driven people insane.
I think that's what it is. I think you're right. Yeah.
I don't know now. The signs are going to start popping up. What is our fair rule? What is the fair rule?
Well,
we're asking people if they're not vaccinated.
It's not a mandate.
We're requesting it, right?
Right.
Yeah, that'll go over well.
Well, it's like you on the airport. Honor system.
That's right. We do not need security. We can trust our fellow man.
Oh, my God. Yeah, right.
Mm-hmm. And you act up, you'll just get duct taped to a seat.
You know
we don't know
we get
that.
Some person who just stands there, and he's kind of the judge, and decides whether somebody looks suspicious or not.
Not vaccinated.
not vaccinated. For my honor system at the airport.
Oh, okay.
You know,
you could be a guy. You get a read.
You could be a guy. Yep, yep. You could stand there and say, that one.
No, you're out of here.
No, well, we're going to tell you. We're going to check you. You know, we're going to x-ray you.
Come over here. I got to talk to you.
There used to be a guy at the paper who I shall not name, but Tom Powers used to say about him, he said, he goes to the airport, they make him get right up on the conveyor belt.
I know who you're talking about.
Right. Yeah, just get right up here. Man, I miss that cynical son of a gun. Man, he was funny.
Didn't we have a Tom Powers moment?
Well, yeah, well, he was overserved in the evening. He's a very conservative young man, and an Irish Catholic from New England and a right winger.
Here we go.
And,
not that he needs to channel any other cantankerous sports writer, but feeling extra salty, we now present Royce's Tom Powers moment.
I've never heard that.
Oh, yeah.
Then I would go off on some crazy tangent. Because at 2 a.m. he started telling these people what a bunch of freaking idiots they were.
Did he lose his gig because of tweeting?
Well, he was just writing like once a week. He basically, I mean, he got money. He's one of those dummies that started saving money when he was like 23.
One
you know?
Of those dummies. I hate those guys.
Instead of those guys like some like me who waited the next week's check to show up, you know. And, you know, he's so he was just basically doing him a favor, writing one or two columns a week, and then he was not on the payroll, and then he issued some insensitive material at 2 a.m. and that was it.
You want to hear later. My next chapter? And I didn't know the building was gone.
Oh yes. Yes, I love this.
So I have to talk to the editor, Mike Burbeck, on Friday, and we were shooting the breeze a little bit, and I said, where physically are you? Where are you right now?
In case I would sometime try
I'm in
to...
my basement. I've been in my basement since Thanksgiving. I said, does the Pioneer Press have a physical presence somewhere? Oh, yeah, 1 Water Street. There's a few people in there, and I know where that is now. It's on the corner of...
But his executive editor office or the managing agency manager?
He's been home since Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving of which year?
2020.
Okay.
Ask him where the press is? Where is the when the press is rolling, where is it rolling?
I think that's in Minneapolis.
Yes, we print your paper.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's been going on for several years.
Okay.
Yeah, everybody that thinks that the Star Tribune wants to run the Pioneer Press out of business, nope.
Because they want
to keep collecting the check for printing the newspaper.
I love that story so much.
In the 1980s,
you guys aren't here anymore. No. Yeah, where do we go?
I'm going to run upstairs and get some stuff. What do you mean? You're not? They're no longer here.
That was Breslin's thing when he's walking down the street. He sees all this commotion.
Yeah.
And he said, looked like somebody went out of business. And I went up there and it was my joint. He said,
you know, it was my business.
I think the New York Mirror, right? Wasn't it? I think
Herald Tribune, maybe? I don't know.
I don't know. One of them was my joint. But
I found my answer. The Flyers and Whalers. In the 80s, 2 NHL teams, the Philadelphia Flyers and the Hartford Whalers, replaced their traditional hockey shorts with long pants. There's a video clip on BleacherReport.com. In actuality, the long pants offered better protection for players. The problem was they looked like sweatpants or track pants. Even though the Flyers wore them for 2 seasons, they never looked or felt quite right.
Oh, they looked horrible.
Yeah, they were bad news.
I have 2 baseball questions for you, sir.
All right.
Number 1, what the hell has happened to my Padres?
Boy, is that a tank job.
Well, fired their pitching coach today.
They should fire their hitting coach. They don't hit. Yeah. What are they mad about the pitching coach?
It was Larry Rothschild, I believe.
Oh, yeah. And, Wiley veteran Larry. That seemed like a bad mix for him and this young manager.
Young kid, yeah. And apparently, is it Jace Tingler? Isn't that his name, the manager for the Padres? He said it was 100% my decision, so whatever that means. But where does Miguel Cabrera rank as right-handed hitters in baseball?
Pretty dang high. Over the last 3 years, he hasn't had any legs. But as far as hitting the ball out to right center, the best I've ever seen. And that's where he hit it to. That's all he can do anymore,
right?
With no foundation with his leg shot. But seems to. I only was in a couple of interviews around the locker with him a couple of times. But I saw him as a 20-year-old kid in the World Series. And I think he broke in at 19, but he had a lot of fun at first base, man. You cannot go to first base without having a life conversation with Miguel Cabrera. I mean, he's always chatting and hitting them in the head and doing all the Hispanic guys. He's basically beating them up when they get down there and stuff. Everybody loves him.
Somebody put up a clip. It was a couple of years ago of him taking his first at bat at Busch Stadium and him and Yadi going back and forth. Mm-hmm. I should find it and send it to
really
you.
Funny.
Oh, it was spectacular.
What was a great clip? It might have been last year of the shortstop or the second baseman who kept keeping the other player down. He would try to get up, and he'd slap him on the head.
I do remember that.
Well, the best was Beltre because he wouldn't let guys,
people touch his head.
They try to rub his head. He hated people to touch his head, so he'd hit a home run, and they'd be chasing him through the dugout, trying to hit him in his head. But Miggy, remember that one time, though, they were in the pennant race, and everybody was mad because he got stopped at like 2 a.m. drunk?
That was here. It was before game 163 here. And remember, Leland was asked.
That was back in Detroit, though. It wasn't here he got
stopped. No, but it was before this game.
Yeah, okay.
That's when it was. And Leland was asked, you know, are you gonna play Miguel Cabrera? And Leland took the cigarette out and looked at the guy that asked the question. Yeah. Yeah, he's playing. he's hitting 360. Of course I'm putting him in the lineup.
And if he's hungover, he's still my best hitter.
Right. So,
but that was kind of the only real blemish on his career. Yeah. You know, he's loves himself some baseball, that's for sure.
Yep.
And I'm glad to see. Now, unlike Harmon, you know, Harmon was still pretty much at the peak of his hitting skills, and he got the 499, and I think it took 2 weeks because remember, Joe, the Twins put the famous cup. They had the cup. They put out a coffee cup.
Mm-hmm.
That was going to be to commemorate his 500th home run.
Yep.
And by the time they had cup night, he hadn't hit the home run yet.
Oh, no.
He'd been there, yeah. So people have the cup. 500. It was supposed to be imprinted with a date
on it? Oh.
And they didn't have a date. So there's just coffee cups floating around. But he hit one. And then he hit another one that day. He hit two after waiting like 2 weeks.
What's Miggy, 499?
No, he
hit 500 yesterday.
Hit 500.
Yeah. Oh. At Skydome or Rogers
all
Center
through
or
the,
whatever it's called.
All through the entire home. They had a 10-game homestand, right? Mm-hmm. Or at least a week, and he didn't hit one there. But here's the other thing about him. I mentioned this today. They gave him the biggest park in baseball to hit in the last 10 years. You know, Comerica's huge.
Yep.
Why did they do that?
I don't know.
You're your best player. You're a team of power hitting and pitching. I know they did it because they liked their pitching, but why did they decide to build this airport when they got Miguel Cabrera?
But I believe they altered their fences a few years ago.
Yes, but they're still...
Right? Wasn't still that, yeah, right. 2017, Comerica Park moved their fences in another... I'm trying to find the more... How long? Yeah, they moved them in 2017.
Yeah, they did. I know they moved them in, but they were
But they were still... Yeah, it was still a big ballpark.
Center field, huge. You know.
Yeah, it went from 395 to their power alley to 370 and then to 355. So they moved it twice since
so
they
355?
Since
355. Wow.
Yeah.
That's hard to believe. I don't see it that short, but I guess Yankee Stadium. How about that one that the guy hit against the Twins there the other day down the right field line? Did you see that one?
Yeah, I tweeted about that.
316, basically. Just
it's right a joke around. Of a ballpark. It just is.
Well, right. The power
Yankee
alley.
Stadium?
The fences at Yankee Stadium are a joke.
The new one, because they brought the power alley in like 10 feet. So.
But that's a routine fly ball at any other ballpark in
what's
Major League Baseball.
What's the power alley at Target Field? What's the power alley at Target?
It's big in right field.
It's pretty big in right center.
Right center.
It
it's
is,
big.
Yeah.
Yeah. Left, it's normal. 365, I think, in left. Maybe 70.
Let me see Target.
When are those jolly fellows home again?
Oh, God, I can't wait.
they have Milwaukee beginning Friday.
Boy, Dick and Bert, though. Dick and Roy. I was listening to their banter at the start of Yankee Stadium of the series on Thursday. And Dick gets these scripts that he's supposed to read, I think, when they start, you know, like the introduction.
Right.
And it's been a disappointing season for the Twins, but the last 2 weeks they have been what we all expected, one of the best teams in baseball.
Mm-hmm. You.
And then... the record is 126-38 against the Yankees in this century or something like that.
Wow.
And I can't remember the 38. I'm surprised it's that high.
Wow.
Well, let's take it to the streets.
Well, there's got to be something else we have to talk about. Yeah, there was something else on my mind.
Oh, I know what it was.
I got one thing I want to complain about.
Here we go.
Can I complain about this?
Sure.
You know, Joe, in business and in sports, businesses used to have groups, right?
What do you mean?
Group. I mean, you'd have this group over this group worked on this and this and this.
Yeah.
This group worked on that and departments or groups.
Right.
And then sports had teams.
Right.
You have teams.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Well... Now, every business in the world has teams, right?
Oh, they
teams.
Got teams.
We got our team, you know, newspapers. Everybody's got teams.
Got a marketing team.
Yep.
And now the hottest word, the hottest word in coaching in sports is our group.
Our group.
Our group. Oh. It's our group.
Not even our brand. Our group.
And Rocco's big on our group.
Yeah.
And all of the modern talkers are big on our group. But I saw the soccer coach for the Gophers. I for some reason, this was her first game as coach. So I looked it up.
Okay.
And she said, I expect more. Or, our group is going to play better than that. I hate group being used with sports.
Got it. Down there.
Group.
Anti-group.
As I said, there used to be a guy you called the group.
Bill, the columnist in Mankato.
Yeah.
Not the columnist, the photographer.
The photographer.
Bill.
Yeah. The group.
Bill was a big fella, and he never missed lunch or dinner when the Vikings were at Mankato. And
we called him the group.
Everybody called him the group. And,
why?
And, yeah, because he was a big guy. And when you ever saw one of the guys who worked down there, you'd say, how's the group doing? He's doing pretty good. The group.
What if the group's still with us?
He was a couple of months, about 3 years ago he was. I checked. Somebody said the group was
good.
Yeah, the group was, man, did he like having the Vikings down there when they used to let us eat with them. Oh. You think they'll ever bring those guys back where the media and the training camp, they say, come on in and have dinner with us, fellas.
Those days are done?
I think
and that was some eating, let me tell you.
Oh, God,
that was some eating.
I'm so sorry I missed that.
That was some eating.
I would have. It would have been a rookie eating
They would give the players, like, a certain amount of time to clear out before they let us heathens in there.
Okay.
But there's people who ate there twice a day.
Yeah.
Wow.
You know?
That would just be
I did it for one summer, I ate there.
Mm-hmm.
And it was...
Dang. You and Bud kind of going over the game plan as you were sitting there?
Review films.
Bud, still my all-time favorite Bud story. Not a witness, obviously, but Mike Lynn has his first corporate group, the first like corporate sponsor.
Right.
Scored a touchdown, and you know they brought to you, they'd give something away or something. $100 to the Vikings fund or something. Can't remember who they were, but... On like a Wednesday night, they have a little reception for these people, right?
Mm-hmm.
And at the and then they let them stay in the dorm.
Mm-hmm.
There's these 40 corporate people, mm-hmm. and the next morning, one of these guys is waiting down in the hallway to, you know, as Bud and everybody's walking to go have breakfast, and the guy comes up and Bud man sticks his hand out, and Bud looks at his hand and says, "We did that last night."
That's Bud.
That's we've
done that part.
I was asked to be cordial for 45 minutes, and I was.
Yep.
But we're not hanging around BS and pal.
No. We did that last
Hit
night.
The bricks.
We did that last night. Yes. All right,
sports fans.
That was a concise, short, hard-hitting Monday Night Sports.
Yes, there was
About 45 minutes.
You know what I got to say to you?
Huh?
See you at the fair.
Yeah?
See you at the fair.
Two more days.
I don't know. I mean,